Be a good example. If you would turn to 1 Samuel chapter 14, please. Sounds like a good goal to have, to be a good example. Certainly the world has got plenty of examples of men and women that are not so good or not so pure. But God wants us to show others his goodness, his riches. And so we're going to look at a few places today that give us that what to do to be a good example. Here in 1 Samuel 14, the previous to the book of Samuel is the book of Judges, and God had risen up men and women to lead Israel as a judge, as a ruler, as one that would give them direction. But then Israel determined that they wanted a king like the nations around them had kings. God said that really wouldn't be the best, but he let them have their king. And the first king was Saul. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. And his son Jonathan would be certainly recognized as the prince. And here we find that Israel, led by Saul and Jonathan, are under attack by the Philistines. And here, look what it says in verse 1 of chapter of Samuel chapter 14. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, "Come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side." But he told not his father. See, it goes on. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. And it goes on. And they're in hiding. There's this enemy is threatening them, and everybody's in hiding. But jump down to verse 8. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come, let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." See, they're referred to as the uncircumcised because circumcision was something that God had his people do, starting with Abraham. And so they would all get circumcised. And the whole purpose of circumcision, dating back to when Abraham first did it, was to show that you can't bring the promise of God to pass by your own works. And so he told him, you may as well cut off Abraham and Sarah wanted a child, and they weren't able to have one. And Abraham's about 100 years old at this point. And God told him, you may as well cut off the foreskin of your penis and throw it away if you're just going to try and do it by your own ability. It's going to be my grace that brings this to pass. And so from then on, circumcision was a symbol of relying on God and His grace to move forward, to prosper, to gain the promises that God had offered. And so here the enemy was referred to as the uncircumcised. They certainly didn't have any respect for God, the true God. Verse 7, and his armor bearer said unto him, this armor bearer said to Jonathan, "Do all that is in thine heart, turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart." Then said Jonathan, "Behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. And if they say unto us, 'Tarry until we come to you,' then we will stand still in our place and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, 'Come up unto us,' then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand. And this shall be a sign unto us." And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, "Behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they have hid themselves." And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, "Come up to us, and we will show you a thing." And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come after me, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel." So here's two men going against the whole army, and yet they're confident because they have God on their side. Verse 13. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer slew after him. And after that, and that first slaughter, which Jonathan and his armor bearer made, was about 20 men within, as it were, a half an acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. And there was a trembling in the host in the field, and among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers, they also trembled, and the earth quaked, and so it was a very great trembling. And the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away, and they went on beating down one another. They were running away from these two men. As they were running back away from the two men, they're coming at the army, and the army thinks they're being attacked, and so they began killing one another. And the more they killed one another, the more the army fled back into the rest of the army, and they just killed all of themselves off. That's how God worked. This is the example of these two men, really, Jonathan, the king's son, and his armor bearer. So then, this is chapter 14. When you read the ensuing chapters, 15, 16, 17, you learn about David being the prophet Samuel is told to go to the house of Jesse and to get a new king. And he goes there, and you can read the record. And David, the youngest one, wasn't even invited to the meeting. The prophet Samuel said, the one I'm looking for is not here. Are there any other children? They said, well, our youngest, he's out taking care of the sheep. He said, we're not going to sit down until he's here. And when David comes, the Spirit of God is energized in the prophet Samuel, and he anoints David as the new king. David's only 17 years old. So he doesn't just move in and take over Saul's place as a king. But the next chapter, chapter 17, tells about this giant of the Philistines that's coming day after day, threatening Israel, the armies of Israel, to a man-on-man fight. And David rises up to be the one that's willing to take on this enemy. And he's just a young man. He's not even part of the army. But he heard the threat of Goliath, and he saw everyone hiding as a result. And David decided, he came and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that dares to defy the armies of the living God? See, David recognized that with God, there's no army big enough to defeat God's people or God's army. And so you can read the record where David comes to the king, tells the king, I'll take the man on. The king says, you're not even big enough to wear the armor. He says, I don't need the armor. He just picked up five stones. Five is the number for grace. And he ran at the enemy, ran at Goliath, and he only needed one stone to kill him. But the five represented God's grace, that David wasn't going to kill him by his own ability. It was going to be with God. It was all about grace. And as a result, Israel won the battle. The Philistines shrank when they saw their big warrior that was killed. And if you go to chapter 18, 1 Samuel 18, it came to pass when he made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Mm-hmm. See, when this giant had come, you don't read about Jonathan saying, hey, we took on the whole army. I'll go and fight this guy. Jonathan's courage had been eroded by all the people that he was with. And then he sees this young man, David, rise up and boldly take on the enemy. And he realized that that's what he used to be like. That's what he used to do. And so he rises up and says, I'm going to knit my soul with David. And Jonathan and David became like brothers. But there's the example of Jonathan, which he stood up against the army and then took on the army and won, and then it got eroded. And then he sees the example of this young man, David, and he says, I got to link or lock in with him. That's what we can do. We can be those examples for one another. Let's go to the New Testament. Go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, 1 Timothy. We're going to go to chapter 4. This is a letter that Paul is inspired to write to Timothy, who is another young man that has been accompanying Paul and his trials and has grown up as one of Paul's faithful men, and he's seen great things that are recorded in the book of Acts. And here at the end of Paul's life, he writes this letter addressed to Timothy, and it becomes part of the scripture. And here it says, if you're in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth. So don't let people talk down on you, Timothy, because you're a young man. But be thou an example of the believers in the word of God that you speak and teach, in conversation. That's really the manner of life that you live. It's not just talking about your conversations, that we would see this word conversation in the old English meant your manner of life, the way you live your life. Be an example in charity. That's the love of God and how you walk and manifest the love of God. Be an example in spirit, spiritually. Just continue to move forward with God's guidance. Be an example in faith, in the faith of Jesus Christ. It's not by your works that you're going to be able to do so much. It's be the works of the one man that has gone before us that accomplished it all for us. And that's by God's grace that we can go forward. And finally, in purity. And that's keeping yourself lustrous is the way it's defined, but pure, uncontaminated from the fears that can be so prevalent. So here God is inspiring Paul to write this to Timothy, to be an example of the believers in these categories, to go forward like this. Go back to Matthew chapter 5. Jesus Christ also exhorted his followers to be examples, to realize who they were as God's people. He came to call them out and to show them how tremendous they were. He starts off chapter 5 by saying a number of different groups, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. And then he gets to verse 12, First Timothy, or I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 5, verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore, or thenceforth, good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. See, salt had great properties, had healing properties, had preserving properties. It represented integrity. If a man was salted, his words meant what he said and said what he meant. And so Jesus Christ is calling these people the salt of the earth. And then he goes on to say, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men put light, or do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He's telling them to be a good example. Through you are the salt, you are the light. So let your light shine. Let people see this in the way that you, just those categories we looked at in Timothy, in your purity where you stay uncontaminated, in your love that you walk with, in your, in each of these categories, the conversation, the manner of life that we have, the way that we think and act, we are to be lights. We are to show people who God is. Look at Ephesians, please. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says in verse 7, Ephesians 2, verse 7, well, verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he, God, might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. See, God was kind, and kind biblically means to be beneficent to those that are unworthy. It's doing nice things for those that don't deserve it. Certainly that is where we fall. We don't deserve for God to have his only begotten son crucified just for us, but God went to that extent. And then it says, if you go to chapter 4 of Ephesians, at the very end of the chapter, it says, gotta get to chapter 4, verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And then let's read the next verse. They didn't have chapters in the Old Testament or in the 2,000 years ago, so this chapter would not have been there. And be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So we're to be kind and tender-hearted and forgiving and walk in love. This is what it is to be a good example. And you know, it's not always easy to walk this way, because there are things that come up in life where we can be challenged. We can be it can be difficult for us to do or say the right thing. You know, you can see this even in traffic. You know, traffic, as people move around on the highways and on the roadways, at times they get irritated with one another. And so to accommodate that, they've put horns into our cars. So you can, you know, sometimes they're used just to express displeasure. Now, sometimes they may be used to warn somebody that, hey, you're coming over into my lane. But too often, I think they're used to be a punishment of sorts. For, you know, especially when you see someone or hear somebody laying on the horn, they're so irritated with what was going on that they're just laying on their horn, trying to bring attention to that person. Well, see, that's not the way we're to walk. You know, I one time, and I've told this before, but this was, oh gosh, 35 years ago, I was with someone that I respected from in the ministry, and we were traveling on a highway in Oklahoma. And he was driving, and all of a sudden this one car just cut right in front of him and really was discourteous. And I'm thinking, what a jerk this guy is, you know. And I would have been laying on the horn, but I didn't have a horn on the passenger side. And the man that was driving, his immediate response was, oh, this man must really need to be in a hurry. He's probably going to get somebody to get someplace really quickly. And it taught me a lesson. Because that's not what I was thinking at all. But that's being kind. We don't immediately jump to the negative. So here it says in Ephesians that be kind, be tenderhearted, be forgiving. This is letting your light shine. This is how we can walk. Let's look at Colossians, two books further on. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. And in verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. So this is, we have to see ourselves as we are the elect of God. We are the ones that God chose. We are holy. We are beloved of God. So that's where we start with our thinking, especially when we're tempted to be unkind. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. It starts with being merciful. Where you're not doling out punishment that's even deserved. You're instead doling out mercy. Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. That's patience. You know, just we got to be very patient with one another. forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Just like we saw in Ephesians, to see the example of Jesus Christ and to walk like that. And then above all, it says in verse 14, above all these things, put on charity, which is the love of God, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you're also called in one body, and be thankful. That's the example that we want to set, where we hear news coming at us, maybe news about our health or somebody else's health or a situation that's going on, and we respond with love. We respond with forbearing one another, where we're willing to help carry the load. That's what that means. We respond with kindness. That's the example that we want to set as we go forward. And we'll close in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Jesus Christ certainly was in favor of this kind of action and thinking. And he showed men and women how to walk like this. And he taught. And in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 12, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Be kind. You've been forgiven for things. You've been given space and mercy when you've deserved consequence. Well, be the same to give out that love and that grace and that mercy as you go forward. Then you become a sterling example. Then your light is shining.